Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Immigration Preemption Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 26, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Chamber of Commerce of the United States versus Whiting, a case involving the interaction between an Arizona statute and federal immigration laws. The Legal Arizona Workers Act provides for the suspension and/or revocation of licenses held by Arizona employers who knowingly or intentionally employ unauthorized aliens. The statute also requires Arizona employers to use a federal electronic verification system to ensure that their workers are legally authorized. The question before the court was whether federal immigration law preempts those provisions of Arizona law. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, but not joined in full by all members of the majority, the court held by a vote of 5-3 that neither provision of the Arizona law was preempted by federal immigration law. Justices Scalia, Kennedy, and Alito joined the Chief Justice's opinion in full, while Justice Thomas only joined the opinion in part and concurred in the judgment. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion, which Justice Ginsburg joined. Justice Sotomayor filed a separate dissent. Justice Kagan took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. To discuss the case, we have Linda T. Coberly, who is a partner at Winston & Strawn, LLP. Ms. Coberly was on an amicus brief in support of the petitioner. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Coberly.
Hello, this is Linda Coberly. I'm a partner at Winston & Strawn in the Appellate and Critical Motions Practice, and I'm going to be talking with you today about the Supreme Court's recent decision in Chamber of Commerce versus Whiting. I was retained to file an amicus brief in this case, and my brief was in support of the petitioner, the Chamber of Commerce. This case was probably one of the most closely watched in this year's Supreme Court term. It concerned an Arizona law that imposes sanctions on employers who knowingly employ undocumented workers. The Supreme Court recently upheld the law against the claim that it was preempted by federal law, and specifically by the Immigration Reform and Control Act. That federal act made regulating the employment of illegal aliens a central part of federal immigration policy. The Arizona employment law was a precursor to SB 1070, which is the newer and more comprehensive state immigration law that received so much press attention in early 2010. Under the employment law, an employer in Arizona who knowingly employs undocumented workers may face the suspension or revocation of its business licenses or even its articles of incorporation. For an out-of-state corporation, the penalty may include revocation of the company's permission to do business within the state. These penalties are obviously very serious, and they've been described by some people as the business death penalty. The Arizona statute depends on federal law and on federal verification systems to determine employment authorization, but it has its own enforcement system. It also differs from federal law in a couple of ways. For example, the state law ties its definition of work authorization to immigration status by citing the federal statutes that refer to immigration status. The federal system looks instead to employment authorization or employment eligibility. Under federal law, immigration status and employment authorization are not always coextensive, so that distinction can make a difference. The Arizona statute also uses a federal internet-based verification system called E-Verify. In the past, federal law has depended on the I-9 system, which we all know as the system of filling out forms, and you have to show two forms of identification and so forth when you get a new job. Congress enhanced that system by creating E-Verify, which is a similar system using the internet. Federal agencies can require employers to use E-Verify rather than the I-9 process under certain circumstances if the employer has previously violated the law. The Arizona statute, however, requires all employers to use E-Verify. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, along with a number of civil rights groups, sued to block enforcement of Arizona's law, arguing that it is preempted by the federal statutes that regulate immigration. From the perspective of businesses, the law poses a number of concerns. For a large business with operations in more than one state, for example, it may be difficult and costly to keep track of and comply with different state regulatory schemes that parallel the federal scheme. In fact, minimizing burdens on employers was one of the motivations that Congress had to federalize employment-related immigration law and structure the federal system the way it did. And for a very small business, that business may not have the expertise or the personnel to learn about and comply with the E-Verify program and other requirements. At the same time, the plaintiffs in this case noted concerns about how the law would impact immigrants within the state. The federal immigration laws are designed to strike a careful balance between protecting civil rights and preventing the employment of illegal workers, and the plaintiffs in the case were concerned that this state law and others like it might give employers an incentive to discriminate. The Ninth Circuit struck down the law, and the case moved on to the Supreme Court. And in a fractured decision in late May, by a vote of 5-3, the court concluded that the statute is not preempted. Justice Kagan was recused in light of her previous post as the Solicitor General, which brought her into contact with this case. So it was just a group of 8 justices who heard the case. The majority's decision turned really on statutory interpretation. The Federal Act preempts any, and I'm quoting, state and local law imposing criminal or civil sanctions other than through licensing and similar laws upon those who employ or recruit or refer for a fee for employment unauthorized aliens. So the critical question here was whether this state statute fell within what is known as the Savings Clause in the federal preemption provision. That Savings Clause is this parenthetical that carves out licensing and similar laws and authorizes states to engage in those kinds of activities. And really that Savings Clause refers to the fact that states have traditionally been in the business of granting business licenses and authorization to do business. That is a state function, not a federal function. And in a sense, then, that is what is preserved by this savings clause in the preemption provision. The state of Arizona argued that the state law was, in fact, specifically designed to fall within the powers reserved for the states in that savings clause. Writing for the majority, Chief Justice Roberts concluded that Arizona's law did indeed fall within that savings clause. According to the majority, the fact that Arizona's scheme punishes employers by suspending or revoking business licenses, articles of incorporation, certificates of partnership, grants of authority to foreign corporations, and the like, makes it a licensing or similar law, which Congress expressly declined to preempt. 4 of the 5 justices in the majority, and I'm referring to Justices Roberts, Scalia, Kennedy, and Alito, went on to consider whether the state law was impliedly preempted by federal law on the ground that the state law occupied or intruded on or interfered with the enforcement of federal law. They concluded that there was no implied preemption. They found that there was no conflict between the state law and federal law. In fact, they noted the fact that the state law relies in many respects on federal law and echoes it or reinforces it. And under that theory, the 4 justices concluded that there would be no implied preemption. Justice Thomas, who was part of the five-judge majority, did not join that portion of Chief Justice Roberts' opinion. He didn't file a separate concurrence to explain why, but it's sensible to conclude that he did not join that section because either he's skeptical about implied preemption generally, or he's skeptical about the application of implied preemption analysis in a case where there is an express preemption provision and savings clause. In such a case, presumably, Justice Thomas would refer simply to the statutory language to decide whether Congress intended to preempt. The majority also, the five-judge majority then with Justice Thomas, the majority also addressed Arizona's requirement that employers use the E-Verify system, and they concluded that that requirement as well is not preempted. They acknowledged that the federal statute authorizes federal agencies to require E-Verify for only a subset of employers, but they concluded that that fact did not preempt the states from requiring more. That did not prevent the states from concluding that broader compliance with the E-Verify system would be appropriate for that particular state's needs. And they concluded that there was no reason to believe that state use of the E-Verify system in this respect would overwhelm the system or interfere with it. There were two separate dissents written in the case, one by Justice Breyer, joined by Justice Ginsburg, and another by Justice Sotomayor, each addressing both the ramifications of the decision and the preemption analysis. The impact of this decision remains to be seen. Congress could address the issue by amending the federal statutes to prevent states from creating their own parallel immigration regulation schemes. And that is likely to be what the business community will be advocating, as well as certain civil rights and immigration advocacy groups will certainly be seeking that result. But that may be a complicated matter politically at this point. So whether that actually happens in Congress remains to be seen. At the same time, it does seem clear, given the type of analysis the Supreme Court engaged in here, that its decision on this statute is not necessarily predictive of how the Supreme Court may rule on SB 1070, which may come before the court next term. The Ninth Circuit recently struck down portions of SB 1070 as preempted, and that issue, again, will presumably end up before the Supreme Court. But because this recent decision turned so closely on the language of the savings clause relating to employment and the fact that the state law regulated through what the Supreme Court referred to as licensing or similar laws, means that this analysis may not predict how the Supreme Court will come out in SB 1070. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that case on its own merits. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.